Well, good morning, New Gen, and welcome to this morning's meeting. And I get the privilege of preaching this morning. And my name is Michael, and I'm so grateful to be given this opportunity to preach the word this morning. And I'm going to be preaching this morning about the breastplate of righteousness. And so we're going to get straight into it. And I'm going to recap over the last couple of weeks. And the first thing that Steph mentioned was that we are in a spiritual war. And Paul says, he says that there's a present darkness, which basically means it's not a war that's happening happened yesterday, or it's a war that's to come. It's present. It's right now. It's happening as I am speaking to you. It's that real, that there is a spiritual war that is happening. Jesus says to Peter in Luke chapter 21, Peter, Satan demands your life, but I have been interceding for you. Church, we need to realize that the day that we were born, every day that we wake up, Satan demands your life. But we have a Savior that is in us that is greater than Satan. And so this morning, we have the authority through Christ Jesus to stand in this time. I love the scripture that Steph used about Satan being like a lion. Notice the word like. He didn't say he is a lion. He says he's like a lion, which means Satan can do what he likes, but he is not a lion. He's just trying to be like a lion. Just like he's trying to be God, but he is not God. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Jesus is the Lion of the Lion and the Lamb. And so Steph is so right in saying that we shouldn't be playing around with Satan, because Satan at the end of the day brought destruction to this world by deceiving Adam and Eve. Adam, God's first son and daughter, he came and deceived them. And so we mustn't play around with Satan. He's not something to play around or mess around with. He is a serious deal. But I want to say to you that he is not a lion. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And so he only becomes a lion when we give him the authority. And church, we know that all authority that we have is in Jesus Christ. All the authority that we have is in Jesus Christ. And so racism is happening around the world. Coronavirus is happening around the world. These are all natural things that are birthed from a spiritual realm. It's all from the spirit of darkness. And so what can we do about it? Well, we can pray. We can declare the word of God over it. We can bring light into those areas of our communities and over our countries and over this world. We have the power to declare the truth and the light of God's word into our nation. And so just to recap on the belt of truth, last week that Steph did a great job in preaching the belt of truth and talking about how Satan is the accuser and he's the father of all lies. And I realized one thing that last week is that the belt of truth, it upholds righteousness. It holds the breastplate of righteousness in place. That we don't have to carry the heaviest part of our armor. That is Christ Jesus who holds the righteousness. All we need to do is step into it. By receiving Jesus Christ, by strapping Jesus Christ to our waist and allowing him to be that truth, that we now can obtain a free gift called righteousness. And so there's an overlapping. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. And so the truth comes to expose the lie. And this morning the question is, whose report will you believe this morning? And so the big idea this morning is that the righteous have authority. The righteous have authority. I want you to say it with me. The righteous have authority. And in order to understand righteousness, we're going to ask that question, what is righteousness? And to understand it, we need to go right to the beginning of the whole big story of life, which is in the book of Genesis. And we know about Adam and Eve that felt the temptation of sin by Satan deceiving them. And they fall into a sinful nature. They come out of right standing with God and they fall into unrighteousness. And what is amazing to notice, immediately as they realize and they can see that they are now naked, all of a sudden they go grab fig leaves and try and cover their nakedness. There is some kind of righteous works to try and get themselves back to stand before God. But we know that that doesn't help. And God goes and kills animals and gives them animal skins, but then he casts them out of Eden. Then we come to the book of Exodus, which Moses then goes into the Mount Sinai and goes and writes the laws, the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, and he brings it to the Israelites to say, we need to uphold this law. But we know, church, that the law just comes and exposes the sin, and we know that there is no one that can be righteous by fulfilling that law. Only Jesus could do that. You and I, in our wishful dreams, we could think of not being able to fulfill that law. But we know we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so let's go through a few things. Number one, righteousness is an attribute that belongs to God, the lawgiver, and is manifested in his laws. Deuteronomy 6:25 says, "And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." Number two, no man can be justified by his works apart from God's ordinances. Romans 4 verses 1 to 5 says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Number three is righteousness is a wonderful gift from God. It is a gift, is a God-given quality imputed to man upon believing in the Son of God. Romans 5:17 says, "For if, because of one man's trespasses," speaking about Adam, "death reigned through that one man, much more will be those who receive the abundance of grace, that the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." And lastly, righteousness is being in right standing with God. Righteousness is being aligned with God. That's what it means. And so we know we can only be in right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that we believe that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, that he is my Lord and Savior, that I submit to his workmanship, to being redeemed because of the blood of Jesus that cleanses all my sin and makes me right before God. It's powerful. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us, that now we can stand before God as righteous as his sons and daughters. And so we want to look at the book of Ephesians, and I want to kind of give us some context. And in order to give us some context, we need to go and look as to when Paul wrote this letter. And he wrote this letter in Acts chapter 19. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul comes to Ephesus, and he finds disciples. And he asked them one question. It's very interesting to me. He asked them one question. He says, "Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit?" And they said to him, "We haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We only know the baptism of John," which is what? Being baptized in water. And so Paul says, "Well, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." So he grabs a hold of them. He lays his hand on them. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in other tongues. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. And miracle signs and wonders happen. Demons are being cast out. Handkerchiefs, or they pray over cloths, and they lay the cloths over the sick, and the sick are being healed. There is a spiritual war that is happening in Acts chapter 19, so spiritual, because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that. And so, on one hand, there's the water baptism, which is the to die in Christ and to be raised in Christ, which means we are in right standing with God, which comes and puts us in a place of righteousness. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the empowerment in order to carry out the righteous works. You see that? Righteous works don't obtain righteousness. It's out of a righteous standing that flows righteous works, the power of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. And so there were miracles, signs and wonders. There's a spiritual warfare that's happening. And so I'd like to read to you Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10, to give us a little bit of context around this. Paul says to them, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the true riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things, things in heaven and things on earth. And so Ephesians church, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is all talking about what Jesus has accomplished through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we were enemies and we've been made children of God. How Jesus saved us and redeemed us and restored us in a righteous standing with the Father. Then it's a big word. It says, therefore, Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is a carrying out of this gospel in and through our lives. This is where the righteous works happen. This is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in order to do these works, to live out this Christian life, to declare the goodness of God. And we know in that moment is that we are engaging in a spiritual warfare. And that's why he instructs us to stand firm and to put on the armor of God. I just want to say this to you, church, is that to put on the armor of God is by believing in Jesus Christ. From the day that you got saved, you put it on. You don't take it off and you put it back on. You take it off and you put it back on. It's forever on. When you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as him being your Lord and Savior, and you repent of your sin and you turn from your wicked ways and you are baptized in water and you come up alive in Christ, you have been made righteous, then the armor of God is on you. You don't take it off and put it back on. It's on you and it stays on you because you are in a spiritual war. So Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is, if you would like, the baptism of water, being right standing with God. And 4, 5, and 6 is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowering you to carry out his righteousness. The best person that we can see this illustration is with Jesus. And I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. And it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's have a look at this. Jesus comes to John in a heart attitude of humility, saying to John, you need to baptize me. Not denying the fact that Jesus will need to baptize John in the Holy Spirit. But he comes and he humbles himself to be baptized by John in water, to fulfill all righteousness. Then what happens as Jesus comes out of the water, what do we notice? Is the heavens are opened. You see, the Bible says that let it be done, let the kingdom of heaven be done here on earth. Let God's kingdom come here on earth. In that moment, the heavens are opened and the affirmation of God upon Jesus, the Son of God, he goes, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. What is happening there? Is the kingdom of heaven is being established here on earth through Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon Jesus to do what? To empower him to carry out the kingdom of God here on earth, to take over territory here on earth into the spiritual realm and for his kingdom to be established. So we see Jesus modeling this. What is amazing to me, in order for God to say, this is my son in whom I am pleased, and in order for the Holy Spirit to come and rest upon Jesus, Jesus did not perform any miracle. He didn't say any prayer. He didn't preach any word. All he did was come to the Father and was baptized underwater and alive in water. Sorry. He was baptized in water. And as he came up, God's affirmation came and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You see, church, right now, I believe God is saying that over you and over his church today. He's saying, you are my son and you are my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have come to the knowledge of faith that he and he alone can save you and redeem you and cleanse you from your sin with his blood, and you believe that he died on the cross and he was raised from the dead and now he's seated in heavenly places. Church, then you must know that God is screaming from heaven loudly over you right now. And he is saying, you are my son and you are my daughter and in whom I am well pleased. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give money to Taste and See. You don't have to preach sermons. You don't have to try and get people saved. You don't have to do any of those righteous works in order for me to be pleased with you, because that's not what it's about. To be in right standing with me is through my son Jesus Christ. And if you receive him, you stand holy and righteous before me, and I am well pleased with you. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then the righteous works come out. Then the tithing happens. Then the giving happens. Then the preaching of the word happens. You see, church, righteous works don't earn righteousness with God. It's from righteousness that righteous works flows, and it flows from the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And so Satan is this accuser. And many of us have been saying that I am not beautiful. But God says that you are perfectly and wonderfully made. Steph preached last week. Or I can't do this, but in Christ Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And church, while I was preparing for the sermon, I saw a prophetic picture. And the prophetic picture was this, is that I saw myself with the armor of God on it, and I was looking towards God. And in this moment, I was on my knees, I was on one knee, and I saw Satan firing fiery darts into my back. And it just multiple darts were in my back. And I said, God, is this about me? He goes, no, Mike, this is about the church, but I want to make it personal with you so that when you preach this word, people would hear it from your heart. And this morning, church, as I was kneeling down and as those darts were firing into my back, it's the only way that he could penetrate my heart. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are already being dressed with the armor of God. We've already been made righteous. You don't have to put it on. It's been given to you. It's a free gift. It's put on you because of Jesus that has established you through truth. And so now I'm on my knees, and the only way for Satan to get to me is by his accusations and me allowing the authority and his accusations to penetrate me. And that is by having my back turned towards him. And it's because I have struggled to hold on to the identity that I am right with God and that I am a son of God. But then I heard a voice, and the voice said, Michael, stand up and turn around. And so I'm going to do this, is I stood up and I turned around. And what that is, church, that's the word metanoia, to turn around, to repent of, to change the way we think and change it into a kingdom perspective. And as I turned around, God was now standing behind me and Satan was now in front of me. The enemy is now in front of me and his darts cannot penetrate me. But there were accusations in my back. You see, church, when we're standing with our back towards the enemy and he's firing darts into our hearts, what comes out of him, what does the Bible say? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when he accuses that you are not beautiful, I am not beautiful. You are not successful, I am not successful. You see, that's what we've been saying. And so it's a sin to God, because God is not saying those things to us. And so God makes me stand up and he turns us around. There's a repentance that is happening. And all of a sudden, I saw God starting to pull the arrows out of my back. He starts bringing healing while the enemy is firing his darts, but he cannot penetrate my heart because the breastplate of righteousness is protecting me. And so he's pulling it, and the healing starts coming. And all of a sudden, the word says, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. You are my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Michael, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. You see, it's God behind me. It's God affirming me as his son. He's given me an authority because I'm in right standing with him. And now I can face the enemy. And as he does that, I said, God, but help me understand this. How can you be behind me? Aren't you supposed to be before me and beside me? He goes, yes, Mike. You see, when I am standing behind you, it's my authority that I'm giving you as my my son. And then I give you the Holy Spirit that is in you, which is beside you, and it's empowering you that when you pray, that when you preach, that when you speak the word of God, you speak the truth of God, you pray my will, you pray the truth. And what is that truth? John chapter 1, Jesus is the living word. It's the word of God that comes out of our mouths. It's our actions that our hands are extended. It's Jesus being extended to the world. It's not you and I, it's Jesus being extended to the world. You see, church, we've been praying so long, but we've been praying these just repetitious prayers. We recite scripture. But when we pray scripture, when we pray the word of God, we're praying Jesus, the truth, the live word of God before us. So God is behind me, and he is with me, and he's beside me, and he is before me. And that all comes out of a place of righteousness. You see, church, when I have truth that has been established and righteousness that is being carried by that truth, and I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, I can use the Spirit, I can use the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. I can use it effectively because I'm in right standing with God. And I believe this morning that God is saying this to the church this morning. It's time to repent. It's time to forgive. It's time to let go of the things of the world and turn around and repent and receive your sonship and receive the fact that you are my daughter. It's time to repent because I want to use my church, and I've given my church the authority in this hour and in this time, in this present darkness, to bring my light across the earth and to fill the earth with my glory. I have called you. I've called you as my son and as my daughter. He is calling you by name this morning. What you need to do is get up and turn around and allow him to pull the dots out of your back and bring healing to you and establish you as a son and daughter. You see, church, the armor was always there, but we just didn't believe the truth. We believed the accusations of the enemy. Stand up. Repent, turn around in Jesus' name. Paul's words in Ephesians 6:19, he says this, and also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. You see, church, Paul might be speaking about himself there, but every single one of us, every son and every daughter has been given the gift of righteousness. And every single one of us can proclaim the gospel. You don't have to be a preacher like I'm doing right now. Everybody, every son and daughter has the authority from God and the Holy Spirit inside of them to release Christ, to release Jesus into this world. He is the hope of glory. He is what the world is asking for. Deliver Christ, church. It's not up to just the preacher. It's not up to just the pastor. It's for his church to be activated right now in the Spirit of God and to speak truth in Jesus' name. The Bible says that righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Righteousness and justice are the same thing. Righteousness is the foundation of his throne. From that foundation of righteousness, church, he's empowering you to do righteous works and proclaim Jesus Christ to the world that is dying out there. Last question is, Mike, how do I live a Christian life? It's quite simple. Jesus said this in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great first commandment. And the second like it, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law of the prophets. Out of righteousness flows the authority of love, church. The world needs love. Jesus is the love of God. And we've been given that authority. You see, church, we cannot expect to love if we haven't received love. If I say to you, here's 100 rand, if I say to you, give your brother 100 rand, but you don't have 100 rand, how can you give 100 rand? But if I give you love, if I give you that 100 rand, you can give it. You see, we have to receive the affirmation from the Father as righteous. We need to receive his affirmation of saying that we are sons and daughters. And from that place, we can respond as being sons and daughters. From that place, we can respond in the righteous work of loving. And so we can only love by giving out love. And so the big idea this morning is that the righteous have authority. the righteous, you and I, sons and daughters of God, we have authority. And so this morning, in our response to God this morning, I want us to say this morning, I want us to stop and pause for 2 minutes right now, and we're going to just take a time out right now. And while I was speaking about us turning around and allowing God to pull those arrows out of the back, out of our back, allow the Holy Spirit to come and to illustrate or to bring to your heart what the enemy has been accusing you of and what you have been declaring and what you have been doing. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Whatever it might be, allow God to come and do business in your heart this morning. Turn around and stand firm. Stand firm, church. And allow God to start removing those arrows of your back. So we're going to give you 2 minutes to do that. And in doing that, we're going to go into a response time. We're going to go into a song. And when the song is played, you're going to see why this song is so powerful for this time. I want you to see the arrows out of your back and God bringing healing to you. And when you sing that song, sing it with everything that is in your heart. Because He has set you free. He has established you in truth and in righteousness and right standing with the Father. And you have an authority. You have an authority here on earth. It's been given to you as sons and daughters. God bless you, church. And I'm praying for you in Jesus' name.